Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to another episode of Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And, you know, just as always, I'm here to just bring you a true story of inspiration to give you that hope that you need in case you've lost it. This is a tough battle, but we're tougher. So continue to fight back. And I'm super excited to share another story with you. Welcome to the show, Craig. I am so excited to have you join me.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to tell my story, I guess.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear it. So you know, sometimes before I record these shows, sometimes I know the people, sometimes I know some of their story, and sometimes I don't. And so today is one of those days. I don't know anything, so I'm going to learn along with the listeners. So I'm excited to hear your journey.
Awesome.
So where do we start? How far back? I mean, it's your story, so take it away.
I will start when it first presented as symptoms. That would have been August 2nd, 2015. I was out camping with my family and woke up Sunday morning and thought I was having a stroke. And my face had melted off, paralyzed on the right side. Fortunately, my wife's a nurse, and she's like, it gets up right away. And she's like, well, you're not having a stroke, but we better go to the hospital and find out. So we're in a community a couple miles away, and we went to the hospital, walked into Emerge, and they're like, oh my God, you're having a stroke. And just to give you an idea how bad Canada's free healthcare system is, they made me wait 40 minutes in the lobby to register before they would take me and Emerge.
So they think have this drooping off face, right?
Yeah. They think I'm having a stroke.
And they're just sitting there. Wow.
Yeah. I had to register before they would treat me. So that blew my mind. And they brought me in there and hooked me up to some machines, and nothing was crazy. Of course, my blood pressure's high because I'm panicked because I think I'm dying. And they come in, and then the doctor comes in. They're like, no, this is Bell's palsy. Your face is paralyzed. We'll put you on some antivirals. They put me on two different things, and I can't remember what they were, but antivirals, and sent me on my way. So here I am, basically, my right eye was basically blind. Like, I could see out of it, but it didn't focus. It wouldn't work. And I had to go back to the campground, pack up our camper. And like, we had a big 42-foot fifth wheel. And then I had to drive this thing 100 kilometers back home because my wife doesn't have the license to drive and stuff. So here I am, hours into this, and I can't barely see out of my face. And I go home, and I went to work that week. It was a long weekend, so I went back to work on Tuesday, and work panic, thought I was having a stroke at work. And I work in a potash mine, so it's a fertilizer place, and it's super hot. So as anytime I stress my body, and I'm just learning as I go at the time, right? I have no idea. My face just falls off. So it looks super. So I run cranes and things. So I'm running a crane, and a guy comes over, freaks out, and, you know, hey, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, this is what happened. And so it went on, and, you know, I go see my doctor that week, and he's like, oh, you'll be okay in a few weeks. You know, keep taking the antivirals, and however it heals in 3 months, that's where you're at. I'm like, okay. So this is August, you know, it gets a little better. I had to tape my eyes shut because I couldn't blink it and stuff, and can't smile anymore. And a few months go by, and I'm on Facebook on the Bell's palsy, you know, help groups, right? Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, try this, try that. And so you do it anything because you want to help it make it better. And And when a lady came on and she's like, and I can't remember if it was on a post or she PM'd me, but she's like, you should go get tested for Lyme.
Oh, and I'm like, goodness.
Yeah, no.
You probably thought she was crazy, right?
I had no idea, right? Like, I live in an area where everybody says we don't have Lyme and stuff like that. We had ticks. And even growing up, I grew up in Manitoba. I now live in Saskatchewan, right on the border. And Lyme disease wasn't much back then. That's something that's moved in the last 25, 30 years. I could be wrong. We've maybe just been more noticed, but wasn't something we worried about as a kid. Nobody had Lyme. Nobody ever got sick. So I went and got tested, went to the doctor. I said, I want to get tested for Lyme disease. And he's like, well, I've never heard of Lyme disease causing that. And we don't have Lyme disease here. And I'm like, well, for peace of mind, like this, you know, Lyme disease can be serious. Let's do it. So he did the tests. And when I came back in for the results, he's like, you know, I did some research and you were right. This could be a sign of Lyme, but we did the test and you're good. I'm like, oh, okay. And he didn't know and I didn't know. I had zero knowledge back then. And I started having
worse. So was your test actually like negative? So it was a false negative?
Yes, it was a negative.
Okay. Okay. Because some doctors will look and say, well, you only have two bands out of the, you know, 10 or how many there are. No, you don't have it. But it actually just showed
negative. Yeah. And I didn't know anything then. So I didn't know to check, you know, ask, oh, what about these bands? I had no idea.
We don't know.
So you move on, and this is around late October, early November in that fall of 15. And I start having other symptoms. My vision is going weird and it comes and goes in my right eye. And I thought, you know, it's probably just the nerves or whatever. And I started having really bad migraines.
Up to this point, all you had was the Bell's palsy. In fact, I just shared an article. I think it was either from ILADS or Global Lyme Alliance. I just shared an article on my Lyme and Beyond with Tanya Facebook page. Is it Bell's palsy or facial palsy from Lyme? It was a pretty interesting article. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's all your symptoms that you have, right?
It was Bell's palsy, and then migraines started and just a few other things. And then I couldn't taste anything. Like when I ate food, it had two different tastes in my mouth. It was the weirdest thing. Like if I had drank a coffee, it tasted like beer, you know,
And so this is long before COVID, right? So you didn't have
I just thought it was the paralysis in my face. And like I said, it wasn't, I trusted doctors fairly decently still at that point. And so it was the other symptoms. And I started having some inflammation and my hands, and I'm a mechanic, so I work with my hands all day. So I started having problems with my hands and then my joints, but I've beaten the hell out of my body. I'm 53 in a month. I turned 53. And I mean, I've rode dirt bikes and quads and snow machines. And I mean, I always joke when, how many times have you crashed? And I'm like, it's in the hundreds. You know, I've broke.
So you weren't kind to your body.
No. So, you know, I'm in my early 40s and joints are starting to ache. I'm like, it's just work. You know, you don't think anything, but the migraines were bad. There you go. Sorry. That was my alarm. So I go back to the doctor. I'm having, you know, joint pain, tingling in my hands. And he's like, well, we're going to send you to a neurologist. Canadian healthcare kicks in again. That's a 6-month referral. So I get in to see a neurologist in early summer, May-ish, something like that. And I go in to see him. And by then I've probably recovered 80% of where I am now. So I still, the taste came and go.
Okay. The Bell's palsy was about 80% better, and your headaches and aches and stuff were about 80% better at this point.
No, the other symptoms got worse, but the facial, it's about 80. I'm probably about 85% of that. Cause I still, like, I can't wrinkle my forehead. this eye blinks different. I can't feel some of my face still. My taste still is weird sometimes on the one side. And so I was about 85% of where I am now, I would say, to be honest. And so they sent me to the neurologist. He takes me in, hooks me up to a machine, and he's like, well, the left side of your face works about 300% better than the other side. So my nerves weren't dead. They just wouldn't work right. So I'm like, okay, so there's still hope that maybe it might get better. I'm just a slow case. And they start talking, and then he calls his assistant in, and there, I heard them talking. He's like, yeah, we need to get him in for an MRI right away. And he comes over, we're going to put you in. We got you on an urgent call. So it took 3 weeks to get an MRI.
That was my next question. Okay, so how long was an MRI wait?
Just to give you an idea, I had an MRI last summer. I blew my knee out in July, and it was a 9-month waiting list. So they got me an MRI in 3 weeks. So I was like, okay, this is serious, because it's a half year or better at that time. And they thought I had MS. Which, okay, that makes sense, right? So they do the test, that all comes back. They're like, no, it's not MS. I'm like, well, what is it? Why am I having all these problems? The nerve pain. And they're like, we don't know. Go back to your doctor. So now you got to go back to step one. And you go back, and he's like, well, we'll send you to the eye, ear, nose specialist. So now another 6 months, get in to see them. By then I got the tinnitus in my head was so bad. I couldn't, like, certain people, I couldn't hear them talk. It was, the ringing was deafening. It drove me crazy. And I go see that guy, and he goes, oh, it wasn't Bell's palsy. You had shingles, and that's what caused all this. So every doctor I went to see told me it was their specialty, right? And so I go back to my doctor, and I'm like, well, I don't believe that. So they sent me for sleep apnea testing, which wasn't an issue. What else did they send me to after that? Oh, I had to go see an eye doctor because my vision was getting bad. And I had like 20/10 vision. I could see a fly's arsehole at 100 yards, you know, like I had great vision. And I was losing vision. I had to stop playing hockey because I couldn't see out the right side. My eye wouldn't focus enough to see movement. So I was worried about getting hurt or hurting others. And so that affected a lot of things I was doing. I snowmobile and motorcycle. During this time, I thought it was heavy metals, and that'll go back to 2010 when I worked in a nickel mine, basically a toxic waste dump. And I had gotten diagnosed with heavy metals, and they were super bad. Like, I saw this naturopath, and he's like, oh, we got to test you for heavy metals first thing. And the first test they rejected because all the readings were off the chart. And they're like, nobody has that much heavy metals in them. Made me do it again. And again, it made me, every time I did it, it made me super sick for like a day. And they're like, yeah, your heavy metals are off the charts. They're like, they want to know how are you living? And I'm like, okay. So that naturopath.
So was this, sorry, just to clarify. Sure. So did you have this metal toxicity test done long before you had the facial palsy from Lyme?
2010.
Okay. So that was years ago, and you got tested for it. And then, okay. All right.
Yeah. So we treated that. And then, so all of this, I'm starting to think, well, maybe it's linked to the heavy metals. Maybe my heavy metals.
Right.
So I went and got heavy metal tested again. I had some high aluminum, but that was it. So we did more, DMSA, treated with that. Didn't make a difference. So I'm online, and there was a guy, there was two guys, Dan Webb and Albert Wilking. And they were big into heavy metals and a few other things. And so I thought, okay, you know, they're like, you need to find out where your vitamin C's at, you know? So they were doing salt flushes. So I was eating vitamin C to oral tolerance. And I want to say the first, when I started out, I was somewhere around 22 teaspoons of powdered vitamin C a day. That was my oral tolerance. Like, I was depleted, and I did that. I did salt.
And so what milligram would that have been?
Oh,
to kind of put it in perspective. Any guesses? Well,
it would have been in tens of thousands of range. I was, and that's at oral tolerance. Like if you take vitamin C, take too much, it gives you diarrhea. And I was taking 22 teaspoons of it. And I'm trying to think what it was. I want to say it was 1,000 milligrams a teaspoon or something. So I was taking 22,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day.
Okay.
So that's what I was doing that. And that seemed to help. My symptoms slowly lessened. I was doing salt flushes, same sort of idea, trying to flush everything out, colon flushes, liver cleanses, just things on my own that I got, my body's stressed, just trying to do things while I wait. And I would say that's when my Lyme went into remission. Still didn't know nothing about it. And I was feeling good. I got back in the gym. I was doing CrossFit. I was racing dirt bikes again. I want to say 2017.
High dose vitamin C is huge. That was, my biggest thing was hyperthermia, I think, but I also
high
dose of what's that?
You felt cold all the time?
No, my treatment, they raised my body temperature. Yeah, to 105, 106, 107. Yeah, I think that was like a huge game changer in my journey. But along with that, I did high dose vitamin C IVs. Yeah, vitamin C can be powerful. Okay, so now you're getting your life back and you're probably hoping, okay, hopefully that chapter is over, right?
I think that was one of the things that helped me. So processing salt, our building runs 45 degrees Celsius all the time. So that's like 105 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, okay.
And we have places with a heat gun that register like 72 degrees Celsius. So, you're talking that 160 range. And I think that helped me. That constant heat shock all day and then getting out in the cool. And I was doing hot, cold treatments accidentally.
I'm glad you said that. That makes sense, right? Because I mean, even to this day, like one of the modalities that I bought along my journey is a biomat, which is like an infrared amethyst crystal mat that I lay on.
Yeah.
And it actually raises, if you sit on it, for an hour or whatever, you can actually take your temperature and it has raised your body temperature.
Yeah.
I think it's huge. You raise the body temperature and it just kills everything, right? Like it makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you're doing it and didn't even know it.
Yeah. I accidentally helped myself. What was the other thing? Raw eggs, shells and all. I would eat half dozen a day, but I think my body needed the nutrients, right? So I was doing stuff like that. Like I said, I tried anything anyone said, and I think I went into remission. That's what because my symptoms went away. I was feeling good. I was racing dirt bikes. I was performing well. Like we have hour and a half long races in the bush. It's pretty strenuous. That would have been 2018. I think I'm making the turn. I got to live with a paralyzed face, but everything else seems good. I'm at the gym. Like I'm deadlifting 400 plus pounds, like nothing. I'm doing chin-ups again. Like I was running.
Yeah, so you're feeling good. Okay.
Amazing. And the last race of the year would have been, I think the first week of October. And I took a bad crash. I ended up tumbling down a hill, tangled in the bike, tore my MC or a partial tear on my MCL. I was black and blue. I took a hell of a beating. And within 30 days, within a month, month and a half, I put on about 40 pounds. My Lyme came back like vicious. All my symptoms, the headaches came back, everything. I go see my doctor.
Did all come back in about 40 days 30 days?
Yeah. Yeah, like
and
like
you gained crazy. 40 pounds.
Yep, I went from 260.
What do you think the weight gain was from? Because that's
inflammation. Inflammation.
Wow.
Yeah, huge inflammation, it hit me like a brick wall. Like I just, I'd be exhausted. It would take me a week or two to recover from a race. So I was bad cardio. I'm in my 40s. I'm just in poor shape. But this one, it just it. I just could barely walk for weeks. Down. Yeah, it just hit me like a train wreck. It was bad. And then I go see the doctor and he's like, oh, you got to push through it. Keep at the gym. Because my doctor and I actually went to the same CrossFit. So he sees me lifting, getting worse. And he's like, you just got to push through it. And they ended up putting
me on. Now, is this the regular doctor that did the blood test and it's fine, not the nature path? Okay, so the regular doctor. Okay.
Regular meds, yeah, the Canadian medical system. And they put me on. My joint pain was so bad. It was just horrible. I got to the point if I would drop a wrench at work, I would leave it. I couldn't bend over to pick it up. I was sleeping at work. I was very lucky I had the job I was holding at the time. I looked after a particular area and a bunch of equipment, and that's all I did all day. And if there was a major breakdown, they brought in the other mechanics. I just babysat equipment to keep it running. So I was very fortunate that I could go take a lot of breaks. And they had me on anti-inflammatories and painkillers, and I'm gonna say it was about 2 or 3 months or late winter, and they cut me off my painkillers. They said, no, we're worried you're gonna get addicted. And I'm like, you give everyone and their dog OxyContin and fentanyl and every other thing, and I said, here I am crippled up, barely walking, young guy, like, and you're doing nothing for me. And I self-medicated. I went to cannabis. So have you ever looked into the Rick Simpson treatment?
Yes, I have heard quite a bit about that. Yeah. Okay. So now is that and I'm not super familiar with, you know, cannabis or THC or whatever. So is it I know that it is legal in many states in the States. Yeah. Was that legal where you are?
At that point, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It was legal. I just ordered online. I was getting it in liquid. I was taking a milliliter in the morning to go to work so I could make it through the day. I would take about 2 milliliters when I got home from work, 'cause by the end of the day I was beat.
And this is the Rick Simpson oil, correct?
Yeah, like it's
okay.
High 25 milligram, THC. Okay. Like,
so it does have, because the THC is, sorry, I'm not super versed in this,
sure.
But the THC, is that what like gives you that high feeling? Is it the THC? Yeah. Okay, so it does the Rick Simpson oil have the THC in it?
Yes.
So how were you able to go to work and function?
Like, so if you ever watch some of Rick Simpson stuff, like I was never a big drug user. I didn't do a lot of marijuana and pot. And when I was younger, it just wasn't my thing. It makes me sleepy. And then I'm hungry and I want to eat an extra large pizza. Yeah. I'm the 7-Eleven dream guy. But before I started taking, I'd done a fair amount of research. And what Rick Simpson said, once you get high and you maintain the high, which is why I took so much instead of just in the evenings, I took it throughout the day. You lose that high. You're kind not
like you get like a tolerance, just like you would on any medication, probably.
It's I wouldn't call it a tolerance. It just, you're not going up and down, right? You're not swinging up. I got high, I came down. Okay. You went up, and I maintained that for 3 or 4 months.
Kind of like when I go to Vegas, like just stay drunk the whole time, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I know how to do the maintenance thing pretty well.
So yeah, I was high for 3 or 4 months, going to work, doing everything. And this is now spring of 2019. So we're coming into COVID now, I think. 17, 18. I can't remember my year so good.
And in there, yeah.
Yeah. And so, and I'm like, everything now, all the research is, it all circles back to Lyme every time. Everyone you talk online, Lyme, it's got to be Lyme. And then they're like, well, the Lyme testing sucks. So I'm like, and I think before I got diagnosed, I got tested a total of 4 times, all negative. Mm-hmm. Didn't know the Canadian test was so bad. Start doing
research. They're bad here too. I had three and they were all negative. Well, just to make you feel better.
We follow America's standard, right? So, where was I? Yeah. So did the testing, kept circling back to Lyme, and my wife goes, you should go see your naturopath again. So this is the one who treated me for the heavy metals. And I'm like, sure, he, you know, maybe. I'm like, if he's not a Lyme specialist, how's he going to help me? So I go online, pull up his thing. He's still in the same in Winnipeg, and he's specializing in Lyme.
Oh, of course he is, right? Because it really is all over. Wow, what are the odds? Yay.
Well, and it's a horrible story. His wife got Lyme disease in 2017. It got so bad, they had to commit her to a psychiatric ward at one point. Or she was having psychiatric problems, and that's how he, trying to figure out what was wrong with her, got into Lyme, got specialized. So he'd been 2 years now figuring out and treating his wife and then going in that way. And like, if I'd gone to him in 2015, he wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, wow. Such a great story. And, yeah,
well,
so
bless
I go see him
for fixing his wife and then turning that into the passion, right? He realized it was a problem. So
he goes to the big conference in the States every year. He's down there every year. And
sounds like I might need to reach out to have him as a podcast guest. Just saying.
Yeah. And so we called him, of course, you know, medical up here, even a naturopath, he's super busy. It took about 3 weeks to get in. I go see him. Of course, it's 1,000-kilometer drive there and back. There's nobody near me. And I go see him.
So mainly for me, right? Maybe the listeners too. How far is that?
600 miles.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm glad I asked.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. 600 miles away is the closest. Okay.
So 600 round trip, 300 each way.
Okay.
And I go see him and we start talking. He's like, oh yeah, your textbook Lyme. We'll do the tests. And so he's like, we're going to do heavy metals. We're going to do mold. And then we're going to send you for all these ones and co-infections. And I said, well, I'd just done a recent heavy metals and I was good. He's okay. So we skip, because it's expensive, right? Like, it would have been probably close to 3,000 Canadian, which that's a lot of money, but it's not a bit. I make good money, so that was a fortunate thing for me. We did the mold. I tested negative for mold, positive for anaplasma, microplasma, and pneumonia, Lyme, active EBV and CMV. So that was my load on my body. He started treating me within a couple weeks of that. I just about had a stroke the week before I started treatment, ended up in an ambulance. That was
so it was about a week before you started this treatment he was going to do, and you almost had a stroke.
Yeah, I was, we were at a race. Like I said, we raced dirt bikes. My wife was still racing. I just physically couldn't do it and started not feeling well at the race. And of course, there's an ambulance there because we have accidents.
Right, right.
And I got in there and the guy started freaking out because my blood pressure was like 195 over 120. And so, and then I think that was the Monday I got the diagnosis and he sent me the treatment for what he wanted me to do. And, but being a naturopath, he can't prescribe antibiotics in Canada. So now I have to go back to my doctor and say, this is my diagnosis. I used Armin Labs actually.
Oh, Dr. Armin Schwarzbach. Yeah, actually I just had him. He's been on my podcast, I think 3 times.
Yeah.
And I actually met him in California when I was running a nonprofit. He came all the way from Augsburg, Germany to speak at a medical conference I was putting on in Chico, California. Fantastic man. Yeah. And at one of his, he's got a great lab. Not many labs are, you know, that accurate, but he's one of them for sure.
Yeah. So I took all that to my doctor. He was hesitant. They wanted to start me on 60 days of doxycycline. My doctor would only prescribe me 30 days at a time because he goes, well, that's outside the Lyme treatment and, you know, the pushback, right?
Yeah.
And so he gave me 30 days. I was about, I don't know, maybe 10 days in, and I got up one morning and I didn't have any pain. And I was like, that is nice, you know, but it was one day. I got up and I felt good. Of course, by the end of the day, I'm burnt out, and a few more days go by, and then I'd have a day or two. And by the end of the 30 days, I want to say I feel better, but I think it's a sliding scale. I felt better than I had in half a year, which seemed amazing to me at the time.
Didn't technically feel good, but you felt so much better.
Yeah. It's hard to gauge. Was I actually feeling good or just a lot better than I was?
It's not totally miserable. Yeah.
And like I said, my passion is motorcycles, and I had a big trip coming up July 1st, long weekend. I do a big trip, and I take people. I do like guided trips, right? I take people, and we are going to down to Colorado. So like 10 day trips. And I thought I was going to have to drive my car. I couldn't hold up a motorcycle. Like, the season starts for us April, May, and I'd fallen over on my motorcycle. I couldn't hold it up anymore. And so here I'm thinking I'm going to have to do this trip in a car to take my friends on a bike trip, you know? And by the time July, that was almost 60, I would have been, I don't know, 5-6 weeks from the start of treatment. And I rode a bike. I went out. I did a 10-day trip on my motorcycle. I was sick as a dog because I was taking pills and I was puking. I'd have to pull over and throw up all the time. It was horrible.
You're hardcore. Hardcore.
My wife always jokes.
But your body, the pain, all of that, like, you were able to do it.
Yeah. A little bit of nausea. And I guess it was herxing, right? Yeah. I was herxing, and so I'd pull over, I'd get motion sickness, and I'd pull over and I'd throw up, drink some water, and be good for another 2 hours. So that
was your wife supportive of this, or was she like ready to strangle you?
Oh, geez, that's a whole other part of the story. For that trip, she was super supportive because she seen me happy the first time in a long time at that point.
Yeah.
And she rides, so she's on her own bike with me. So it's one of our things we do together.
She knows the passion. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I ran out, I'm going to say it would have been the end of July. My 60 days of meds were up, and he wouldn't give me any more. He basically told me to F off. He's like, don't come back with this anymore. And it was super frustrating because he just everything. Oh, it's fibromyalgia. It's chronic. Like, by the time it was all said and done, they had a list of probably 20 diseases I had. And I'm like, that's not normal. How can you look at my medical file and tell me that's normal? You know, like, so many doctor visits. Oh, and that was the last one. It's fibromyalgia. And that was just before I got diagnosed. And so because I live on the border of a different province, it's a different healthcare system. So I went to Manitoba and got another doctor to treat me. Gave me another 60 days of doxycycline, because between the end of July and September, when I got in to see that doctor, my symptoms started coming back, and that doctor gave me the 60 days, no problem. And then as we got close to the end, they were trying to get me into an internal medicine doctor, try and get it up. I was trying to get to like infectious disease, but you got to get referrals. Right. And so that's where I was trying to get to. They thought maybe they would have better testing or test for more things. And that doctor took 14 tubes of blood out of me one day. I'd never, like, normally you're
my highest is 19.
Wow.
19, like, tubes at one time. Yeah.
It's crazy,
that was my record.
Right? Yeah. And
now, so I know in the States, right, a lot of people that go down this journey and they get all these referrals, they go to infectious disease doctors. And I can tell you, in the States, they're a waste of your time, a waste of your money. So yeah. How was that? Was that the same experience for you in Canada, or?
Yeah, I never got to an infectious disease. I got to the internal medicine guys, and my wife came with me, and my whole time, I raged out of control sometimes. Like, I had confrontations at work. I was angry at home. Like, that my wife didn't divorce me, looking back, is quite shocking. I was all over the place mentally. And we're walking into the hospital, and my wife's like, just promise me, no matter what they say, don't hit anyone. Like, she's an RN. She knew already, but we're just trying to play the system to get better. And that was the problem. We just couldn't get anyone to prescribe my naturopath treatments other than the herbs and the vitamins. And
yeah, and you're still taking that all along, right?
All along, probiotics. Okay. Well, I was on antibiotics. So you're doing the probiotics. You're doing immune, the vitamin C. That would have been, I was doing IV vitamin C by then, the banana bag, I called it, because it was that bright yellow color.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. That stuff was amazing. That I swear, that's like, if you're not doing that, you're wasting your time, whatever you're doing.
Yeah, I love vitamin C.
That's when, so COVID's in full blast now. That would have been January 2020, and nobody wants to deal with you. He can't prescribe me meds. Then I found an actual doctor who can prescribe for you, but he's in BC. So that's 2,000 kilometers each way, 4,000 kilometer round trip to go see him.
Okay, refresh our memories. How far is that?
2,400 kilometer drive to go there and back.
But how many miles?
2,400 miles.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So 1,200 each way. So he says, this guy, but because of COVID, they were allowing telemedicine. So he could come on a Zoom call and prescribe. So I'm like, perfect. I don't have to drive.
Sign me up.
So we do the thing, and he's like, seeing the results. He goes, this is what we're going to put you on. So at this point, he's experimenting with medicines to see how I'm going to react to different things. So he's trying different antibiotics, antivirals, again, immune support, like the whole everything. And so he sends me out the antibiotics, gives me the list of other things. I source what I can, an order from either my doctor in Winnipeg or him in Vancouver, and get everything and start. And we're a couple weeks in, and he calls, and he's like, I got bad news. And I'm like, oh, what kind of bad news? I thought maybe, I hadn't done any testing. I'm like, what's going on? And he's like, I can't treat you anymore. I'm like, why not? He goes, they changed the rules again. I can't do telemedicine outside of the province. So I'm like, I need to be in the province. Like, I could drive to the border, which is 10 hours away, and then phone you, and that would work. And he goes, no, he goes, because you're out of province, you'd have to come see me in person. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, it was like a Monday or a Tuesday. And I'm like, I can be there on Friday. I will get in my car and drive there. So I'm getting my car ready, and I think we're into May. So I'd started these other two antibiotics, had no adverse reactions. The night before, he phones me at supper time, and he's like, you know what? We sent you that, I can't remember if it was more doxycycline, but he added these other meds. He said, start taking them all, see how you react. We can put this off for a few weeks before you have to come in again. So basically saved me two trips to BC at that point. I had to go see him because he wanted to test my liver and kidneys and see how they're reacting to all the medicine. So I had to drive all the way out to Vancouver, and I took my son. We kind of had a father-dad trip in the sports car. So that was kind of cool. And yeah, basically went out there to fill my prescription and get a blood test. I had to drive 2,000 kilometers each way. Wow. So we did that, and my test come back good. He goes, we're going to treat you till September. So he gave me prescribed enough meds till September. I picked them up, drove home, treated all summer, feeling 1,000 times better than I had the year before, just on doxycycline. September, I had to go back, see him again, drove there, made it a family trip, took the wife and both kids and, you know, turned it into a week-long vacation, visited some family, visited some friends, and got there. And he's like, well, you're doing really good. He goes, the bad news is I have to cut you off your meds because the antibiotics and everything. He goes, we're killing your liver and kidneys. We got to take at least a 3-month break. We can either retest or see how you feel and go from there. So that rolls around to, I think we're pushing January of 21. I'm still feeling good. No symptoms came back. And so I was like, yeah, things seem pretty good. Started working out again. As soon as I started working out, I started getting sick. I went and saw the naturopath back in Winnipeg. And he's like, you've got MCAS, like the mast cell activation syndrome. So any stress would just crash my body. And I can't even remember what we took. I was taking allergy pills, like 20 milligrams a day of dislocetate or something like that. It's kind of the 5 milligram pills that were good for 24 hours. I was taking 4 a day to suppress my histamine and stuff.
Yeah, it's just an over-release of histamines, you know, mast cell. Yeah.
So I was doing that, and then trying to think now, that would have been into the spring of 21. Just not getting better. As soon as I stressed my body, any stress, and I would just get inflammation would start coming back. And so we went and tested again, and it was the CMV and EBV were still a little active. Anaplasma and microplasma were gone. Nothing. I didn't test for anything else, just the two viruses. So we were going to treat that again. And then he had a family emergency and ended up taking a sabbatical for 2 or 3 months. I think his mother got sick and was passing away. So I couldn't get in to see him till fall. I got in to see him. He started me on another round of antivirals, doxycycline and I'm going to mess this one up. Erythromithazole. Is that something?
Erythromycin.
I would say, what's that?
Erythromycin.
That's it. I always say that one wrong.
Okay.
And he started, that would have been, I started in November and a month later, COVID ran through our house.
Of course it did.
Well, perfect storm for me. I'm already on antivirals. I'm antibiotics, immune suppressant. Like I'm on the full boatload of meds. I had a headache for 2 days. That was it. I had a headache for 2 days. My wife got so sick, she ended up in the hospital. My son had a like flu-like for a couple days. Same with my daughter. And then it was gone. And I finished that round of treatment in end of February, first week of March kind of thing in 22. And at that point, I didn't have any other symptoms. I think we tested again and nothing come back. Everything was good, but my gut was destroyed.
Yeah.
Like horribly destroyed. I was still doing IV vitamin C. I would probably doing that twice a year for how many weeks? I think it varied.
Twice a year?
Like twice a year, I'd do a cycle of it. Like, so.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. You do several of them in a row a couple times.
Well, he wanted me coming 2-3 times a week. But that's, you know, you're talking 3,000 miles a week.
A lot
driving.
Of miles. Yeah. A lot of miles.
Because my wife's an RN, she came in the first time and he showed her how to do it. I don't know if I should say that, but, and she was actually doing that for me. And after she got COVID, she got on it. So I learned how to start an IV. I was putting in my wife's IV. And
the things we do, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. So did that. And then, I just continued with the allergy pills I mean, massive doses of supplements, right? The probiotics, immune support, just trying to build a strong immune system back.
So and that was mostly just by supplements that you were taking. Were you doing any other? No. Okay. Okay.
At that point, there was nothing the doctors prescribed. I was, like I said, I was doing whatever I thought would make my immune system better. The big problem I had was gut health. My gut health was atrocious. I couldn't eat vegetables, because if I ate vegetables like an hour or two, they come straight through undigested. They're that gross. Like, I just, so, you know, you're trying to figure things out, and we're into 22. I did that for about a year, and I just couldn't get my gut health coming around, no matter how much probiotics. I actually went on Ozempic because my weight still was high. I was still up around 300 pounds. I went on Ozempic, not just for the weight loss. I thought I was becoming just so many little things after, right? Like, my insulin resistance was bad because of my weight and everything. Like, and you go to the doctor and like, no, your blood sugar's good, but they don't test your insulin. So I would, I would just pass out for 2 hours at a time, not randomly, but like, I'm like, I got to sit down, and I'd go out for a couple hours. And so I went on the Ozempic, and that seemed to level everything out, and that sort of stuff stopped. And then one of the side effects of Ozempic is it has people like frozen stomach. They talk about it as a bad side effect, but for me, that was a good side effect because it slowed my digestive system down. And then my things started working better. I lost about 40 pounds. I got down to about 260 pounds, and then it flattened out. It wasn't doing anything. Didn't matter what dosage I took. It basically stopped working. So I stopped taking it. I want to say probably was on it for about 9 months. And so I stopped taking that. And then,
I'm glad there's a lot of research being done on, you know, these weight loss shots that, you know, were initially for diabetics. And man, there's some really, really detrimental things from these shots. So I'm glad the one that you got actually benefited you. And I'm glad you're off of it now. But it benefited you. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what we figured out from that, like, I do blood tests, blood work every year, just keep an eye on everything. I have low testosterone. We know my insulin's a mess. At that point, what are we, like, May of 24? Yeah, about May of 2024. So I think my gut health's pretty good. Everything's back to pretty normal. But, I mean, I'm still taking your magnesium, vitamin C, K, D3, you know, stuff like that. Just, I put castor oil. I use that, black seed oil.
Great stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I've tried everything for my testosterone, and nothing seemed to work to get it back up. I tried the Shilajit, pine tree pollen, anything natural I could. Nothing seemed to work. So I dabble in the black market. So I went and got testosterone and was injecting that. I got my testosterone up from 200 to 300, but I didn't like taking those shots. I really wanted to get prescribed like either a patch or, so that's what I'm working on now.
I've got just the thing for you. We'll chat after the show.
Sure. So I've had high blood pressure issues up and down, and it's kind of all over the place. And my last set of blood work, they're like, oh, there was some blood. They did urine too. And they're like, oh, there's some blood in your urine. And I'm like, yeah, that's been like since I was 18. So like 40 years of that, it's not a big deal, you know? And so they wanted to do an ultrasound. So they did an ultrasound on my liver and all that stuff, and everything's good there. So, you know, no issues with that. And now I take MCT for my insulin, and that has stopped my passing out. I take T3 DMG for my high blood pressure. I watch what I eat. I started because of how my stomach was. I was on a fairly solid carnivore diet for probably the last couple years, but I've added fasting into that. So I don't eat till 4 o'clock every day. I eat between 4 and 8 o'clock.
And fasting has so many incredible benefits. What have you noticed from fasting?
Just feeling better okay. all the time. Just like I feel okay. my energy levels. I feel more like I did when I was 40. Okay. So that's been huge. I mean, I still do the sauna. I bought a cattle watering tank and I was doing cold plunges in my garage during the winter. I did that for a whole winter. So I'd sit in the sauna till I couldn't stand it. And then I would jump in my garage, which isn't really heated, to 4 degree, you know, water just a couple degrees above freezing. And I'd sit in there as long as I could. I got to the point, I think I could take 10 or 12 minutes in 4 degree water.
Wow.
Yeah. So I've done that.
You really are a rock star. I mean, you threw anything and everything at this when there's a will, there's a way, right?
Yeah. I got young kids. My youngest kid is 10. My son's 17. He's autistic. So that fear of not being there for your family.
Yeah.
That was a good driver to get better.
Absolutely. They were your why, was your family, right? When we go through this and we lose hope and we don't feel that, you know, one, we can't get well, or two, we can't afford to get well, you know, we just kind of lose all hope. And I think it's such an important thing to come up with a why. Why do you want to get well? And it was your family. Bless them for that, right?
Yeah. I think it's one of the biggest holdbacks on a lot of these help groups, like, you know, these groups on Facebook and stuff is, and I get it, cause I was there. We're so negative to each other. You know, people get mad at me cause I say I'm cured, and I'm like, well, what else would I call myself? You know, like, well, it's remission. And I'm like, can you prove it's remission? There's no test to prove you're in remission. Really. It's how you feel. And you know what?
Mindset is everything.
100% in health.
Mindset is everything. Yeah.
If you convince yourself you're in remission and you're just living life waiting for it to come back, that is such a negative effect on your health.
Yeah, it'll come back. No, I agree. You know, they're medical term wise, remission, cured. Don't know. Does it matter? Right. Is my first thing. Does it matter? And for some people it does, right?
Yeah.
I'm in remission. I am not in fear of ever being sick again. If I feel something is off in my body, I will take a supplement or do a modality accordingly, right? I have the tools in my toolbox, just like you do, right?
Yeah.
You got your sauna, your cold plunge, your supplements, you know what to do. We don't live in fear.
No,
Lyme is our past, right? We got rid of Lyme. We're in remission. We can stay in remission. We can stay cured. We can stay whatever.
Yep.
We're in touch with our body. We're in tune with our body. And when something is off, be vigilant, right?
Yep.
And know it and don't ignore it. Address it.
Looking after your immune system. I mean, that's number one, right? You know, we've
gut health right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's so harsh on people if someone, you know, has anyone been cured? Oh no, you'll never get cured. This is with you for life. That's a horrible thing to say to someone. And I get that, because there's people out there that have been sick 20, 30 years and probably remission is their best hope. But I wouldn't tell someone who's, you know, been chronic for a year or 3 years or five that you're screwed for life. You know, that was one of the things I'd asked my doctors, because everyone had said remission is the best. And I said, like, can this be cured? And both my naturopaths said, yeah, we can cure Lyme. I'm like, that meant the world to me, right?
Yeah.
No, you know,
I get it. I get it. And I'm sorry that you know, you had that frustration. These groups are, you know, they're wonderful because somebody told you many years ago, get tested for Lyme with your Bell's palsy. It didn't pan out right. But they can be wonderful.
But it was always in my mind.
Yeah, but there's always, you know, there's always going to be those people. And then I need to think and stop and remember that they're sick, right? They're not well.
Yeah.
We need to give them grace, but never is it okay to rain on someone's parade, right? If you want to be cured, by all means, you are cured, right? Whether I'm cured or remission, all I know is that I feel 1,000,000%, right?
Yeah.
And I have for 4 years. So I'm cured, right? However you want to look at it,
exactly.
If we can live our life and be symptom-free, we shouldn't judge others how we want to do it. I think probably why people get that is because there's already so much misinformation about Lyme disease, right? Especially in the States, and I'm sure where you are as well, that people,
we don't even acknowledge it. So
you don't even have it there, right?
The misinformation is what the government is telling you, that there's no Lyme in your area. And yet I know like a dozen people within 30K of you have it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, we get a lot of that in the States too, but it just is, I think people on these forums, they're, you know, a handful of things. They're trying to spread accurate information, right? Because most doctors will say it goes in remission, right? Some say it's cured. But I think people just try to share correct information. And again, they're sick, right? Their emotions are all over the place, that we need to give them grace. But if you're out there listening and you see somebody on Facebook that says, I'm cured, I'm good, say, yay for you. How'd it work? Right? Like, what did you do? Don't rain on our parades. Like it's not fair. I get it. We want to be there to support these people. And I'm sure that, you know, it sounds like a nightmare to be sick in Canada where you are, like just a nightmare, right?
We're such a rural country.
Yeah. We thought we had it so bad in the States, right? So hopefully for some of the listeners out there who thinks that it's impossible to get into a doctor, and well, you just kind of shared the worst of it with us. So, oh my gosh, Craig, I'm just so, so happy for you. And I take it you're writing again with your wife, and you got your passion back. You get to enjoy. You got your life back. And there was a lot of really emotional parts of that, of your journey, you know, where you probably weren't sure where you were. And I love that you brought up, you found your why, and your why was your family, right? And bless your wife, because there are many, many relationships that are ruined over this illness.
Yeah.
So kudos to her for sticking by you, right? Like that shows it all right there.
It's I feel so bad for the people. Like financially, it wasn't cheap. I sat down one time and we figured it probably cost me close to 70 grand, you know, and mind you, that was over a few years, but like, who has that money? You know, and that's with free healthcare. You know, I probably spent 70 grand driving across this country and supplements that aren't covered by anyone. And like, I get the mental on people, the physical on people, the financial on people. It's horrible. And then doctors, you know, are telling you one thing, and then you have doctors out there that, oh, if you use my stuff, you'll get better. Like there's so much, like you said, misinformation, and there's people out there that are trying to, oh, if you try this, and me, I try everything. Like if I'd heard of a Rife machine before I did all my other stuff, I'd have done it. Like I looked at buying.
You kind of have to sometimes, right? Yeah. Because not one thing works for everyone.
That's
the
right.
Complicated part about Lyme disease is that there's not just a fix it thing.
I don't know. Like I've often wondered what I see online. Maybe it's just more women are online, but I often wonder, does it affect the biology between male and female different? You know, like,
you know, I think that I'm glad you brought that up too, because I appreciate having a male on my show. I don't get many of them, but I don't think it's because they don't have Lyme. With a few of them I've talked to in the past, you know, just like what you said, you have to provide for your family, right? Yeah. I think that, you know, it's horrible for male or female, but I really can empathize a little bit more with the men who go through this, because it's the man who's supposed to be the man of the house, you know, bring home the money, provide for the family, do all these things. And here they can't even take care of themselves, let alone their family, right? Like that is a very, very emotionally hard, very humiliating feeling, a feeling of being a failure. And so I truly think that most men don't come to these forums, right? Yeah. Most men don't come. They're ashamed, and really it's heartbreaking. I wish that they would, because if a few of them, like yourself, Craig, come out, maybe more of them will join forces, because there's nothing to be ashamed about. There's just not. We were not, you know, we didn't sign up for Lyme disease, right?
It's not my lifestyle that caused it. It was a tick. I mean, I have no control
exactly,
over that.
Exactly. But so that's my guess as to why it appears that more women have it than men. I just think they're a little bit more silent about it. So extra kudos to you for joining me and sharing your story. And again, I'm so, so happy for you. And just it was an emotional journey and a long one. And I'm glad you didn't give up, because I'm sure your wife and kids are extremely proud of you, and I am too. Very resilient you are.
Well, I
appreciate you.
My wife, you know, that's my wife putting up with me. I know what I was like, and it's embarrassing at times when I think back of how I was, like.
It wasn't spouses, you, it was the Lyme.
Like how important your spousal support, your family support. I know there's people out there, families are like, oh, it's in your head. There's so much, you know, there's just so many issues against you with this disease. You know, I don't know how people
It's a tough disease, but we're tougher. We got this, right? We did it.
And it's
everybody
getting better.
It's
getting better. Shows like yours are making it better. People are getting awareness. You know, I know for sure Dr. Armin's labs there, his testing has gotten better in the last decade. You know, treatments have gotten better in the last decade. They're trying out new medicines, new treatments. Like, have hope. Don't give up on hope. Because it's, I don't know, like, even how 10 years ago compared to today, to have those groups online that can help you, reach out to them. Everyone's got something that can help you.
Absolutely. I think the community wise, the Lyme community is pretty incredible. I'm proud to be part of it. It's a great group of people. Somebody's always willing to share and always willing to help. So Craig, thank you again so much for your time. I truly appreciate it, and happy riding.
Yeah. Well, it's still snow here.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.